Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. One of the most amazing and most detailed and most specific prophecies in the Bible describes historical events up to the present time and is found in Daniel 11. Daniel 11 talks a lot about a power block referred to as the King of the South. The King of the South. Who is this end-time King of the South today, and what is this power block going to do? The Bible's very specific about certain power blocks. King of the North that we've discussed previously on this program, and it also talks about this King of the South. And there's a clash coming between these two, as we'll notice. We're going to look at a few scriptures today. So if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at these together and see what the Bible says about the King of the South. So first, let's notice the time element of the prophecies that we are going to look at today. After all, we want to make sure that these are for today. And we notice in Daniel 11 and verse 40 this. It says, "And at the time of the end shall the King of the South push at him." So notice it's the time of the end. That's the time period that we're living in today. This time right before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. So this prophecy is for today. It's very current. At the time of the end, this is when this prophecy will be fulfilled. And then notice Daniel 12 and verse 1. And it's part of the same prophetic flow, even though there's a chapter break here. It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book." So God's people will be delivered during this time of trouble. But again, we're noticing the time element here of this prophecy. Trouble like the world has never seen before. And of course, with the invention of nuclear weapons, this type of suffering, this type of destruction that the world has not seen before is possible now. So that's one of the keys to seeing when this prophecy is going to be fulfilled, in this time of the end, a time when there'll be trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. So that's the time period that we're living in today. That's when the King of the South is active. And what makes this time of trouble unlike any other time? I mean, after all, Daniel 12 and verse 1 says this is a time of trouble unlike any other time. Well, remember, Matthew 24 verses 21 through 22 says that Christ said, unless he stopped the final war, there would be no flesh saved alive. And so, again, we can tell, based upon the advanced weaponry and what that advanced weaponry can do, it can blot out every human on this earth, all flesh, in fact, that we are in this time of the end that Christ talked about and that Daniel talked about as well. So, when this King of the South emerges, we are very close to this great tribulation and the return of Jesus Christ. And we have to keep the good news in mind, because tribulation obviously is very difficult. But the great news is the return of Jesus Christ. That's the great news. So let's see what the King of the South does in this end time. What is this power block up to? Daniel 11 and verse 40, where we just were reading the rest of that, it says, "And at the time of the end shall the King of the South push at him, and the King of the North shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over." The Herbert W. Armstrong College of Bible Correspondence course says the word push is a violent word. It means to thrust at or gore, as if a horned animal strikes. Figuratively, it means to wage war. The King of the South will keep pushing until it prods the European superpower into war. This King of the South pushes at the King of the North. And again, it gives the example of an animal thrusting at or to gore. And we've seen that. You've seen a horned animal push at another animal before. It's a violent act. And so the king of the north responds with a whirlwind type attack. Now the king of the north is a European beast power, which will be led by Germany. And the king of the south will push at the king of the north until the king of the north comes back with warfare. In his booklet, The King of the South, now this is free at thetrumpet.com, and I recommend that you'd get it and read it. Mr. Gerald Fleury writes this: the stage is being set for an Islamic group of nations to be led by Iran as the prophesied King of the South, which will push at the King of the North, the European Union. Iran has a foreign policy with a lot of push, and since the end of its war with Iraq in 1988, Iran has accumulated a massive arsenal of weapons to back up its aggressive foreign policy. And that arsenal includes chemical and biological weapons. He continues and says, the blatantly bold and aggressive foreign policy of Iran must lead to war. It will either conquer or be conquered. And just think about what you've seen from Iran over these last few years, especially, and those other nations that it leads there in the Middle East. Pushiness, terrorism, all sorts of violence. They're very much after weaponry that they can use, nuclear weapons. And so they're very pushy, very pushy. The European power, the beast, or king of the north, responds violently against the king of the south. That's what Daniel 11 and verse 40 shows. And the king of the north attack with a whirlwind. They attack with a whirlwind. The Gesenius Lexicon says this about the word whirlwind: used of the commotion of a storm or tempest, to sweep away in a storm, to rush like a tempest, to be fierce as a tempest, with the implication that the people are terror-stricken. Now, this is a type of warfare implemented by the king of the north. It's blitzkrieg warfare. That is because Germany leads the European combine. That's the way that Germany has conducted war, this blitzkrieg type attack. Britannica.com says this about blitzkrieg warfare: it's lightning war, military tactic calculated to create psychological shock and resultant disorganization in enemy forces through the employment of surprise, speed, and superiority in material or firepower. Blitzkrieg is most commonly associated with Nazi Germany during World War II. And so that's the type of warfare that this King of the North is going to bring against the King of the South. We have historical evidence of Germany doing that. You can look back at World War II in particular and to see this blitzkrieg warfare. Who will be the victims of this whirlwind blitzkrieg? Well, the Bible tells us. Notice Daniel 11, verses 40 and then 42 through 43. It says, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. Again, that blitzkrieg type warfare, with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Now, of course, Daniel's writing about this, and he's explaining it in the warfare that he would understand, which would be, you know, horsemen and chariots and that type of thing. But we know modern day warfare, you're looking at tanks, attack helicopters, fighter jets, you know, all the modern warfare that's out there. But it gives us an idea of the type of war that's coming. Verse 42 says, he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. The Bible Correspondence Course says this: since the king of the north is comprised of several nations led by one nation, Germany, it makes sense that the king of the south would have a similar composition. Verse 42 implies that the king of the south will be allied with Egypt. Verses 41 and 43 indicate he is geographically close to Ethiopia, Libya, and the modern state of Israel. So none of these countries can be the king of the south. After the king of the north conquers the king of the south, he makes an alliance with some of the other nations in the Middle East. There's an alliance that's made. And we understand more about this alliance, which is quite mysterious, in Psalm 83. Psalm 83. So we have this king of the north coming and attacking the king of the south. The king of the south being that Iranian-led radical Islam, with Iran at the head. And this king of the north comes and attacks it and makes an alliance with some nations there in the Middle East. And we notice about this alliance, we read about it here in the book of Psalms, Psalm 83, verses 4 through 8. It says, "They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." This alliance wants to destroy Israel. That's not just the modern nation of Israel in the Middle East, which is biblically Judah. It also refers to the United States. It refers to Britain and other nations as well. And you can learn about that in the United States and Britain in prophecy. That's a free book at thetrumpet.com. Verse 5 says, "For they have consulted together," this alliance, "with one consent. They are confederate against you. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines and the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher is also joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot," Selah. So here we have multiple nations listed, and they're listed by biblical names. And so we have to understand who is being discussed here. The goal, again, of this confederacy is to cut off the modern nations of Israel. And as mentioned earlier, that includes the United States and Britain. I mean, this couldn't be more relevant for us and for the nation of Judah in the Middle East. I mean, this is end time prophecy. Remember, Daniel 11 and verse 40 is talking about an end time prophecy, a time of trouble that has never been until the very end. And that's because, as Christ said in Matthew 24, no flesh would be saved alive if he did not return. So we're looking at the modern weaponry and the destruction it can do. We are in that time of the end. The King of the South book says this: "There has never been such an alliance to attack or totally destroy Israel in history." Again, this places it right at our time today, because this hasn't happened historically. It goes on to say in the book, concerning this psalm, the Anchor Bible reads, "History transmits no record of the national crisis when the nations enumerated in this psalm formed a league to wipe out Israel." Lang's commentary points out the 10 nations who are here enumerated as being combined against Israel are never mentioned elsewhere as enemies allied at the same time and for the purpose of annihilating Israel. Other commentaries make the same point. This must be an end-time prophecy. So we can see from what God has revealed that this prophecy is right in this end time. It's right in this end time. Because historically this hasn't happened yet, this alliance hasn't happened yet. The King of the South book continues, Mr. Fleury writes, "Most of the Muslims were allied with Germany in World War II. They knew what Hitler was doing to the Jews, and we know the way many Muslims feel toward the Jews. Since America and Britain support the Jews today, it is not difficult to envision the Muslims and Germans allied against them." From the Bible Correspondence Course, it says, "Asher, or Assyria in verse 8, is modern-day Germany." So here we're getting into who these nations are. And there's a reprint article at thetrumpet.com on this alliance. And there's also, of course, a lot written in other places, including the Bible Correspondence Course. So you can get this information at thetrumpet.com. But it says, "Assyria is modern-day Germany. And here are the modern names of nations it allies with as taught at Ambassador College under Herbert W. Armstrong. Edom is Turkey. Ishmaelites, Saudi Arabia. Moab, Jordan. The Hagarenes anciently dwelt in the land known as Syria today. Gebal, which is Lebanon. Ammon, also Jordan. So none of these countries can be the king of the south because they ally with the king of the north." So we're learning a lot about the king of the north and what they do, but it's also showing us who this king of the south is. So none of these nations mentioned are the king of the south. They're aligned with the king of the north. So you've got to put the Bible together. You've got to put the puzzle pieces together. And when God reveals the way they fit together, then the picture becomes clear. The correspondence course continues and says, "Clearly, Egypt is not part of this alliance, because by this point, it will have already been defeated along with the king of the south. Only two other major Middle Eastern nations are conspicuously missing from this prophecy, Iraq and Iran. All indications point to Iran as the nation that produces the King of the South. Iran is extremely radical and leads the radical Islamist world. Mr. Fleury writes in The King of the South this: "The King of the South is about state-sponsored terrorism. That is how Iran became king. Iran became king. Daniel 11, verses 40 through 43 is an end-time prophecy. It is about a nation that is always pushy in its foreign policy. It pushes until it starts a war. Having such power means that it must be a large oil-producing country. Prophecy shows that this king is close to Jerusalem, Egypt, Ethiopia, and Libya. Who else could it be in this end time but Iran? Iran is extremely radical, the king over radical Islam. Where is this nation's pushiness leading? To war. Just as it has in the past, it's leading to terrifying war with weapons of mass destruction. It can lead no place else. A basic understanding of human nature and history should tell us that all the wishful thinking in this world won't stop that calamity, just as the pacifist dreamers of the 1930s didn't stop Adolf Hitler. So you can look at all the trouble being caused by Iran in the Middle East, and they are definitely pushing in the Middle East. They're pushing at Europe, ultimately. The King of the North, that's what Daniel 11 and verse 40 says. And the King of the North will come against them like a whirlwind, blitzkrieg warfare. The King of the South is identified. It's been revealed to God's apostle and been preached for many years in the Trumpet magazine as Iran. Iran being that King of the South. And they're going to push at the King of the North, that European conglomerate that is led by Germany. Watch your news, see these things happen, and keep looking at thetrumpet.com to understand what's happening in the news. You'll see these things come to pass. You can learn a lot more about this by getting The King of the South. That's a free booklet at thetrumpet.com. If you haven't read it, it's a must read. Please get it and study it. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live By Every Word. Thanks for joining me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live By Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.